Is it the right move? Is it the wrong move? Eastern Market, in the wake of the tragic shooting, will not have tailgating for the Monday night game 2 weeks from now. Out of respect for the victims was the statement.
And to make sure they have enough security. It wasn't right. just out of respect for the victims. Right. They want to make sure they have time to work with the police department to make sure they have all the safeguards in place.
Let's get to the phones. Craig in Fowlerville, your read. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Good morning.
For many years, and kind of crossed with subpoenas there on Russell. And, you know, it was great for a lot of years. All the Lions were struggling, obviously, but it was awesome. I mean, everyone got to know each other. You waved to each other. Last year, there was just everyone was so ecstatic with lots of love and everything else. It was, you know, the new people were welcome, if you want to say that, new people versus old people. But, you know, what's happened, especially early this year, is there's so many new folks down there that are excited. But they have no idea what's going on. So they're just walking right up to your tailgate and thinking that, you know, hey, how much is some ribs? And you're like, dude, this is my family here. You know, they don't know what's going on. And instead of just like, oh, sorry, you know, they're like, well, come on, give me some ribs. It's got a different vibe than what was scaring me. We were talking about it 2 weeks ago was that I couldn't take my family down to the Lions games when we were in Silverdome after a while just because – every time there would be at least 8 or 9 fights, whether they were up in the concourses, down in the stands. But it had that vibe where people are like, yeah, let's go down there, you know, and they're all vibed up for the wrong reason. Instead of, you know, with love for each other, they're all like looking for fights. So I haven't seen it to that extreme yet as what we used to deal with at Silverdome, if you guys are old enough to remember that. But, you know, what breaks my heart, though, is that those businesses down there, you know, they do, I mean, that's all, they're already, some of them are struggling already, and, you know, that takes care of a lot of pain, you know, paying employees new wages and those kind of things, and that's all wiped out. I'd like to see the tailgate still open. I'd like to see, maybe try and make that like a family community environment where there is like a moment of silence during things down there during that Monday night tailgate, although it's going to be wild. Maybe a memorial set up for them, you know, that people can stop by to kind of give everyone a reminder, hey, come down here and have fun, but, you know, check this out. Because if they put, you know, like a big sign or, you know, a dedication to those fallen folks, you know, folks would be bringing down flowers, kind of make a big deal out of it, because it is a big deal.
Yeah.
Still have fun, but have in your mind, hey, this can get out of control quickly, and this is what happens when it does.
We got to respect one another. I mean, yeah. That's what it comes down to, and we've had a couple calls talking about how the tailgate culture can change. We got to respect each other.
Yeah. And here's the other thing about the if it's the security protocols is, and I don't know how long it takes for them to work with the local, you know, police department and other, you know, security measures. If they don't have it Monday night, September 30 versus Seattle, there's not another home game until the very end of October, which is October 27. So it's not just 2 weeks in between home games from Tampa to Seattle. It would literally be 6 weeks from the Tampa game until the Tennessee game, which would be the next home game, for them to increase their security presence and put new protocols in place.
Yeah.
And if they don't have it against Tennessee, it buys them another 4 weeks.
Right. Some ticket techs coming in, some of their thoughts on this. Texter says it's the wrong move. Games and tailgates must go on, otherwise the bad guys win. That's signed Chris. Says, morning, fellas and Heather. If we could get things safe for the draft, we can get Eastern Market safe for games. It might be hard to find extra security for a Monday night versus a Sunday afternoon, but these are the things they have to consider. Texter says, I have a tailgate in a separate area from Eastern Market for the last 10 years. This is a one-time issue. Shutting down the area says to loyal fans and local businesses that the violence wins. The only ones being punished should be the cowards that had the gun. I hope he enjoys his jail cell on the unnamed ticket text. I think a better idea would be to keep the tailgate open and charge an extra $5 or $10 per person to park, donate to the families. I believe there's a GoFundMe that's been set up. This would help cover funeral costs and other expenses. That's an interesting outside the box idea, because that's what this person says. My friend owns a business in Eastern Market. Tailgaters are big for them. I want to respect the people and their lives that were lost, but there have to be other ways to do that without canceling a big event for so many people. Eastern Market is a really cool part of Detroit. I like going, like, not even just like Lion seasons. because he mentioned Supino, the pizza, the DeVries building, go shopping, but even in the sheds and all the people that make that such a uniquely Detroit place, some of the bars and the distilleries that are tucked in there too. It's a very unique, cool place in Detroit, and Lions tailgates are a special, sacred event for a lot of people. It's the highlight. It's a party. It's the community. It's the camaraderie. You don't want to let violence and a bad person take that away from people. As long as you can safely secure it, I think it should happen as normal as it can be on a Monday night.
And I know we think of the NFL season as being long, and it is, but there's literally only 9 Sundays or Mondays, you know, those 9 opportunities throughout the course of an entire year to be able to have those, especially for those businesses. That's a mass of people that are in and around. And whether that's the business that they bring in on those game days, or it's the eye opening, hey, I could come down here at other times and be able to partake of what Eastern Market has to offer.
Let's get to the phones. Nate in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Yeah, how y'all fellas doing?
Good. Good morning, Nate.
Yeah, I was talking to your screener, and when I used to go to the Silver Dome, I used to tailgate at the Silver Dome back in the early 90s when Barry was playing, and I was telling him that I'm surprised that nothing like this has been happening, because when I used to go to the Silver Dome, and I can remember specifically the Lions was playing the Cincinnati Bengals, Lions tailgaters had built a big giant slingshot, and they would shoot big water balloons over in Cincinnati's tailgating party and hit people. And I'm surprised that nothing like this hasn't happened already, because they used to do outlandish things out there at the Silver Dome when I used to go. That was my point. I was surprised. I haven't heard what's going on downtown over the past week.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a line from someone after the shooting, like, alcohol and something else don't mix.
It was guns the police and alcohol. Chief,
yeah,
James White.
Yeah, and I think that's always the danger with this, right? People get liquored up, especially all day. A Monday night, it becomes an all day festivity. Maybe that's part of their consideration here. I still like to believe we can do it in a safe way, but I think that might be part of the consideration too, John. Is that it's a night game where you have all day drunken mischief, and then it goes into the night, and if they aren't confident they can secure it, that might be part of the reason that they say, hey, take a week, which may turn into a couple weeks based on the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, it would be all the way to October 27. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Halloween.
Over a month. My initial gut was wrong move. Show goes on. Don't let the violence win. I know there's a lot of factors that go into this, and nobody wants to be disrespectful to people that lost their lives.
No, and it's those that lost their lives. It's those that are fearful of going back down there because they were there when it happened.
Texter says, I would ban tailgates across the city permanently. They're an accident waiting to happen. Nothing good comes from it. See, I disagree.
Yeah, that's a bit of a reach. That's first of all, that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
But I'm curious.
Nothing good comes from tailgating. I think some great bonding and time with your friends comes from
friends,
tailgating.
Family.
Yeah.
There's some stereotyping or assuming with that. Not every tailgate is, you know, a kegger.
Right.
Like John, for example, you tailgate before the games that you broadcast.
Well, there's a community aspect.
I don't think you drink
to it.
Before, do you?
No. There's a community aspect to it because, and then this is where I do understand, you know, hey, you've got a certain spot that you've been tailgating for some people for decades.
Tradition.
And yes. And you come in and somebody takes your spot and it becomes confrontational. But for the most part, when you show up at a tailgate, I got to assume it's the same for the Lions, that everybody that is around your tailgate has been doing the same thing. And it's a sense of community. There are people that I only see 8 Saturdays out of the year. And yeah, every once in a while you run into them at the mall or, you know, life happens. But you know when you show up on game days, these people are going to be your neighbors. These people are across the street from you.
Should all be on the same team.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Tigers coming up next. I want to know what's going to take for John to buy in another miraculous, magical win for the Tigers last night. We'll talk about our baseball team. Jason Benetti is going to join us this morning at 9:35. The power surge later this hour. It's 97.1.
Hey, if you're not going to the ballpark, if you're not going to the stadium, and you're not enjoying the live events, why not watch some of these great moments at the best pool in history, that's Stadium Swim, and it's located at Circa Resort and Casino. You can catch all these games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. They've got six pools on three different levels, and there is a great view of the massive 40-foot tall high-definition screen that is Stadium Swim. It's America's favorite place to watch football and any sport. Swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Bullpen magic again for the Tigers. Dan Dickerson's call. That was the fifth inning. Casey Mize, they play with fire. They let him load the bases. And Shelby Miller, one pitch, double play, inning over. Now, Shelby Miller created his own bases loaded situation the very next inning and got out of that as well. John, it's magic. It's miraculous. It's happening. And I turn to you again today, as I did yesterday and as I will every day until you buy in all the way. What's it going to take for you to believe this is a playoff team?
Probably not until the season's over. And
actually
they're
in.
Yeah. I mean,
so
I just,
they're 1.5 back. If they were to get the playoff spot itself, a couple days from now, they have the spot. Still not enough. They got to finish it.
They got to finish it. And I mean, there's, if they're in a playoff spot and now they are the ones that are being chased, obviously I'll feel very much different because it's not just what the Tigers are doing. And that's where I'm really trying to wrap my head around this is they've got four more very difficult games. And now you have one of those is a schoolable start, which is today. You've got a day off tomorrow, and then you're going to be in Baltimore for three games. Those are going to be tough because you have Montero pitching, who has been good. You've got an undecided on Saturday, and then Sunday you've got Casey Mize, and we saw the pickles that he got in yesterday, and I'm just looking at it going, you have to take care of your own house and your own business, but then I look at Minnesota, you've got to believe that they're going to continue going down this path of self-destruction. And that's where I kind of struggle saying, I don't know that, are they going to be able to find something to get right in the final nine games of the season? That's where I struggle.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Twins will play one more game than the Tigers the rest of the way. And I think ordinarily you go, that's a disadvantage for Detroit. I actually think it's an advantage because Minnesota's played losing baseball for the better part of a month, actually going back more than a month. The fact that they have more opportunities to lose, I know that's opportunities to win, but they're going to lose these games the way they're playing. And the Tigers continue to find ways to win. I mean, Bo Brisky strikes out the side in the seventh inning. It's the heart of the order for the Royals. I mean, Tyler Holton, arguably the best reliever in all of baseball. I know Class A is having a great season, but Holton is a super reliever. He comes in, eats up the eighth and the ninth inning. I mean, it's the bullpen magic. It's getting a balk in extra innings. Like, everything's going their way. There's a ball early in the game that only Parker Meadows could get to, right? Parker Meadows gets the big knock in extras, and it's not a hard hit ball. It's a ball that gets hit. A baby bloop, I think, is what Dickerson called it. Just where it needed to be. Everything lines up for the Tigers. Even when you're going, Mize didn't pitch well enough to win that game. Miller loading the bases the next thing. They had nine. It was 10 left on base for the Royals. Tigers shouldn't have won that game on the box score, but the Tigers find ways to win these games.
If you look at the box, too, with Mize, I'm baffled still watching that he gave up one run.
Yeah.
Because it went deeper than just, you know, putting guys on base and getting out of it. His pitch location was off at least 10 times significantly. Like, they were pointing it out on the broadcast. Yep. It's like, he's missing and missing bad. He missed so bad on the ball that was hit deep that Meadow saved him on. I mean, that saved the game. It gave him a chance. And it's just like, it's the right things are happening at the right times. And it's like there's a magic, or I will use your word.
How long does it last?
John.
So that's my question is.
You don't want to believe.
Hope's not a strategy.
Because you think it's going to strike midnight. And I'm to a point where I think this is happening. I mean, they win today. They're two behind the Royals. You're putting the Royals in the picture. You're putting home field in the wild card round in the picture. I mean, they're defying logic. But this happens in sports once in a while. And logically, you're having a tough time seeing that because it doesn't make sense, but these things do happen occasionally. How far it's going to go, who knows? But
look, if John doesn't want to have the conversation, Tom, you and I can set the playoff rotation coming up next. I think we could.
Well, Mize isn't starting, and I don't think he should be on the playoff roster. Do you? See, what about Tor?
Right.
Maeda? I mean, I think one of them has to be, don't they?
Maeda was warming up, I think, last night. I think everybody collectively, oh, no, no.
Well, they brought in Shelby Miller.
I know.
Who's probably, after Maeda, the last guy people want to see come in, and he got out of it.
You know, I think what's telling here is something that Doug said earlier this week. Doug goes, I don't want to shame anybody, but if you're not paying attention to this, what the hell's wrong with you? I don't know if he said what the hell's wrong with you because Doug's a nice person, but like, seriously, guys, if you're not watching this, paying attention to this, listening to this, if you don't care about this, I don't know what's going on. If you're a sports fan, this is what we've been waiting for.
Oh, it's exciting. There's no question about it. You cannot take away from the excitement that is the last 6 weeks of the Detroit Tigers, of coming from, what, 9 back, and now you're 1.5? It's unexplainable.
You know what it is? It's so tenuous. It's so tense right now. If Minnesota wins that game, and they did, and the Tigers lose that game, which, I mean, extra innings, you never know what's going to happen. We're not talking about 1.5. It's 2.5, but with the tiebreaker, really 3, if you want to call it 3.5. And you're running out of time.
Yeah.
You win, it's 1.5, and Scooble's on the bump today, and it's so tense. And all these at-bats, like, I think we missed this. We forgot about this. Baseball is a long season, and it can be very boring at times. But those moments of pause that are boring early in the season become really tense when you're in a playoff race, when you're in the playoffs or even close to the playoffs.
And the way I think it's because they just methodically have chipped away over 3 to 4 weeks here. You know, I was listening to Mike Enrico last week, and you know, I'm sitting here trying to use logic, and he's like, well, they're going to have to win after they lost to Scooble start on Thursday. Well, they're going to have to win every series and then sweep the Sox. And I'm like, seriously, they're really going to win every series before the White Sox? And then they do it.
2 or 3 against Baltimore. They won the first 2 against the Royals.
They've made the math, like, way more probable.
Yes. And it just, I'm trying to get where you guys are. I just, at some point, you got to believe that the clock does strike midnight and you end up holding the pumpkin.
It's hard to imagine that in the same season, we have produced both and... We have Jason Benetti on next hour. I wonder if he feels like he's called 2 or 3 seasons in one. 9:35, we'll talk to Jason Benetti. Let's get to Heather's news.
Okay, so this is pretty interesting. Tennessee fans will soon be helping pay the players. So in what is believed to be the first arrangement of its kind, Tennessee fans for all sports will be charged a 10% talent fee on tickets to help pay athletes. And it's all part of a new revenue sharing plan set to begin in 2025. So the university shared the news with football season ticket holders on Tuesday in this email. And the email included a 4-minute video from the athletic director, Danny White, telling fans that the talent fee and some other strategies were a part of an extensive plan to continue their dominance in college athletics and build something like never seen before. Here's a little bit more from Danny White talking about this new revenue sharing plan.
John? Doesn't sit well with you.
Doesn't sit well with me, no, because, I mean, is that going to be the only increase in ticket prices? Probably not.
No,
there's going to be a ticket increase, and then the 10% on top of that for the athletic department. It will eventually turn, and a lot of people have already made the switch where you're buying a ticket, and you feel like you have more say in how the team should perform. And in the pros, it's fine, right? You're buying a ticket and you know they're being paid, and you know they're being paid in college now as well.
Yeah.
But if you're paying this 10% fee, are you going to be more apt to be much more vocal if your team doesn't perform?
Oh, absolutely you will be. So he says it's transparency because on some level, yeah, you're paying,
I can appreciate that.
You're paying the NFL player salaries when you show up to the games, a percentage of it anyway. When you go to a Vols game, you're now going to be paying some of the salary. Mm-hmm. I think what irks people is these conferences are richer than they've ever been. The TV deals are richer than they've ever been. Why are you doing a stick 'em up on the average Joe who just wants to go and watch his team? Now he has to foot the bill for the athletes because you can't. Yeah.
And you look at the extra money that's coming in from these TV contracts, like that's where it should be coming from.
Yeah.
A man who barricaded himself inside a Farmington Hills home on Sunday and shot at police has been charged with multiple felonies. So the situation unfolded when Farmington Hills police responded to a domestic violence assault. This was on Sunday. Officers arrived at the scene. A woman was able to run out of the house, told police that she was assaulted. The suspect opened fire on the police. Children were inside the home. They were able to escape. And then a short time later, the suspect opened fire again. Multiple homes and police cars were hit. This guy is now facing 13 felony charges. Yes. Three counts of assault with intent to murder. I mean, that's the biggest one right there, and tons of others as well. This is a sweet story. A Michigan deputy is being commended for her selfless, courageous action that prevented what could have been a very tragic situation. So last week, out on Gratiot, this was in Mount Clemens, there was a car that was driving really erratically, right? It was like bumping into the curb and then heading back into traffic. The driver was going very slow, about 5 miles per hour, but you could tell something wasn't right with the driver. Very dazed. Police tried to pull this man over, but he wasn't stopping. What's crazy is the man was able to roll down his window and apply more pressure to the brake. And this trooper, this deputy, was able to climb out of her window in the patrol vehicle into the truck bed of his truck, into the vehicle, stopped the car, and obviously was able to find out this guy was having a medical emergency, needed assistance. They got him to the hospital, and now she's being praised for her courageous action, right?
It's like out of a movie,
yeah,
like
it
an
is.
Action movie.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's Heather with the news. Sorry, we're all
oh,
out of
gosh,
time.
Oh, gosh, man,
sorry.
I've got so many more stories to tell you. I didn't get to the fun ones.
We have more,
I'll save them.
Okay, fun news in the 9 yeah. o'clock hour. We've got the Power Surge next, Sharon Moore at 9:02, and yes, Jason Benetti in the 9 o'clock hour as well. It's all coming up. It's 97.1. Meaningful, because you just don't know. If you keep it a one-run game, they got the runner in scoring position. Big tack on added run off the bat of Riley Green. Tigers win 3-1. Stay 1.5 games out of a playoff spot. John, we just got done with the Power Surge. Mm-hmm. Some ticket texts that have come in. John is such a homer. Lions and the Chargers, parentheses Harbaugh, they don't deserve their rankings at this point.
Well, okay. You can argue whatever you want. Trust me, I'm not putting the Chargers in because of Harbaugh. Maybe there is a little bit of homerism with the Lions. I just think, I believe San Francisco, even though they lost to Minnesota, is still, in my opinion, a better team than the Lions right now. And even though they lost to Tampa Bay, I get it. Tampa's 2-0.
Tampa beat Detroit head-to-head. Tampa should be in there if Detroit's going to be in there.
Well, yeah, you do your own power surge.
Well, and that's what the ticket texter says. It, quote, well, that's why it's my power surge. Suck it, nerds. That's John DeCookies, Marty in Brighton.
I'm actually...
you get your own power surge, and then you can do what you want with it.
I actually think the Chargers do belong. It has zero to do with Harbaugh's Michigan affiliation. It's that he's got this thing farther along already, I think, than people think. They're legit. They're playing Harbaugh football. They're running the football. He's resurrecting J.K. Dobbins. Can he stay healthy? Who knows?
Right.
But you'll find out the next 2 weeks. They go to Pittsburgh, and then they host the Chiefs.
I think they're a playoff team. And I don't know that the Saints are a playoff team, but if I was ranking the teams right now, the Saints have a Dallas win that is more significant than what the Chargers have done.
But I don't trust Dallas. I mean, this is more about what I trust and what I believe these teams to be than in week two than what I actually see on the records.
I'm going to let you guys in on a little something here. Tom can complain quite a bit off air, and you were complaining about the losing for the Lions given everybody else in the NFL.
Yeah, I was more mad. It said it in yesterday. I think after the Eagles lost Monday night, and we talked about the Lions yesterday, and after the show, it just started setting in with me that they missed a golden opportunity to take early control of the NFC because the Eagles, Cowboys, and Niners all lost. And they didn't seize the moment. Like last year, they lost to Seattle at home after not, you know, winning the big game on the road. It just, I think they missed an early opportunity to take charge and maybe have a little house money in their back pocket in
the
NFC.
Driver's seat.
Yeah.
So does it bother you more that they lost seeing everything else in the NFL?
It just bothers me that they lost a game that they shouldn't have lost.
Because it bothers me less.
looking at what else happened in the NFL. I would have been more upset if Philly pulled it out and Detroit was a game behind, or if San Francisco won and the Lions were a game behind. The Lions are in the same spot they were before they kicked off on Sunday, dead even with those football teams. If Detroit's better than them, they're going to win this, not only this division, but the NFC, and they'll have home field throughout. I don't feel like, yeah, I'm disappointed they lost. You could say they missed an opportunity, but I feel better that everybody else also missed an opportunity too.
Well, to go consistent with our preseason thoughts on the team, all of us had Super Bowl expectations
yes.
on this show. Mine and John's ceilings were slightly higher with the 14-3 pick. I'm not going to shy away from that yet, although they did make it harder to do, and I'll admit that. But the whole idea of them going 14-3 was to kind of take charge of the NFC and get home field. And to me, they made that a little bit more difficult on themselves sure. simply because they shot themselves in the foot in so many different ways. And to see the Goff turnovers return, that's a little troublesome to me. You know, so we'll sit here. Later in the year, we'll see if we look back on this and Jim's happy about the loss.
Nobody's happy about a loss.
No,
thank you for that.
But your margins for error in the NFL are very small to begin with. There's some really good teams. It's hard to be consistently good week in, week out. So I can understand dropping one that you should have lost. You could win some that maybe you shouldn't win. You win in overtime against the Rams. Maybe now our record is actually what we are. And they're a 500 team that I think has great potential. But if you're talking about these small margins, when you get to the end of the year and you have the division locked up and you're competing with Tampa for the 3 seed, the 4 seed, or you're competing with Philly or San Francisco for the 1 seed, you're going to look back on this game and say, damn, if we only had that one.
Yeah, I think when we talked about preseason, some of the big contenders for the Lions, it's the Niners, it's the Eagles, it's teams who have won the NFC and gone to a Super Bowl. Well, the Niners are going to be without Debo for a stretch here, going to be without CMC for a stretch here. I think Purdy, without those safety valves, saw him get exposed last season without some of those guys. I view this as a Lions opportunity to pounce on San Francisco early in the season, right? I think the Eagles, boy, did they squander one. If Sirianni's consistent, I don't care which side of the coin you fall on. If you're going to go for it 4th-and-4 early in the game, but you're not going to go for it 4th-and-3 late in the game, I think that's what hurt him. If he kicks the field goal early and he kicks the field goal late, they win. If he goes for it early and he goes for it late, he gives himself a chance to win at the end of that football game. But they have some issues going on in Philadelphia. Like, that's the team I thought was the biggest threat, and they lost an NFC game just like the Lions did. So I still feel like the Lions are in pole position in the NFC. So I don't have this extra angst from the loss when I look at the rest of the NFL. Like if the Eagles had won, I'd go, well, damn it, that hurts you twice. Not only did it hurt you because you lost the game, but now you're a game behind the Eagles. That's not the case today.
Well, we're assuming, though, that the Saints and Tampa are more like they'll come to earth. What if they don't? Well, you want to go to New Orleans for the NFC championship game?
That's the difficulty of doing this weeks two and even next week, or week three and week four.
If they do go to New Orleans for the NFC championship game, they'll play there 2 straight weeks. The Super Bowl's in New Orleans.
Oh, boy. Kevin in Ann Arbor, quick word. You're on 97.1.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I'm with you. I'm not really too worried about it. I think that, yeah, we crapped our pants. A lot of other teams crapped their pants as well. I was at the game, and we were still putting ourselves in positions to still take the game, even though we kept crapping our pants all day, took a couple bad calls. But that last 2 minutes, you know, we got down there, crapped our pants, had 3 timeouts, got back down there, crapped our pants again. So,
Kevin, what is with you in the pants?
That is a lot of crap.
Because I was there, man, and a lot of people in the stands were crapping their pants, too.
Some full diapers, Kevin. I get the imagery.
Yes.
You're clearly not shaking up about it.
Yeah, that's what Campbell said. Put your diapers on.
He, you know what? You're right. He's told us that
in the
past.
You know, so I think that I like the Lions team when we're kind of on the ropes. I think we perform well. I think we're shaping up to have another year like last year. We're going to have another good run. Remember, guys, these are a bunch of young guys. We're not full of veteran players. And I'm still a believer, man. I really love this team. And I think everybody should just relax a little bit. Everything's going to pan out just fine.
Kevin, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for listening. We got to get to Sharon Moore. We'll get to Jason Benetti at 9:35. The Michigan coach is after the update next. It's 97.1.